Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Almost 2 years after Donald Trump falsely claimed that voter fraud cost him the 2020 presidential election and inspired a web of like-minded supporters and candidates, it's clear that such lies and conspiracy theories continue to infect our politics and render our democracy unstable. Fortunately, the officials overseeing elections in North Carolina have continued to do a tremendous job of keeping calm, busting myths, strictly enforcing and abiding by the law, and working tirelessly to assure that our elections are conducted fairly and transparently. And earlier this week, I got a chance to learn more about this work in an extended conversation I had with a state official who oversees these efforts, State Board of Elections Executive Director Karen Brinson Bell. In part one of our chat, Brinson Bell reminded me about some of the dates and deadlines for the upcoming election and explained some of the steps her office is taking to respond to threats targeting election workers and to de-escalate tensions that could arise on election day.
Well, Karen Brinson Bell, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
It's that time of year. You're in the midst of it right now. Early voting begins in just a matter of days for the midterm elections. Is there sort of some overarching news that North Carolinians ought to know about how and when to vote?
We're very excited. We are seeing a lot of enthusiasm. Our absentee by mail requests are up over what we saw in 2018. The counties have come up with great plans for their early voting sites, and there just seems to be a lot of interest as we approach the in-person voting period and election day. So I don't want to jinx us, but things are going pretty well. And yeah, we can touch base on some key deadlines and things that voters should know.
Please, can you remind voters? Because it always gets a little confusing. Like, is it too late to register? What about same day registration? What do they need to know about these dates? Tell us about some of the key ones that are coming up.
Absolutely. So the voter registration deadline, when we consider the poll books as closing, is October the 14th. Now, they do have some online options that they can do through our state board website, ncsbe.gov. They can do a voter registration form online. If they are an existing DMV customer, we can pull their signature over from DMV and complete that process. But if they don't make the deadline, North Carolina does have what we call same-day registration, and that is available during the early voting period, which is October 20th through November the 5th. And so if they appear at one of the early voting sites in their county, they can register then and vote that day as well, provided that they bring ID with them. Now, this isn't voter ID. This is just registering to vote and providing a driver's license or a government ID that has a photo on it, or something like a utility bill or a bank statement that's just confirming their residence address as they register to vote. And so that's the same day registration process.
You mentioned voter ID. That's something that's been long discussed in North Carolina, different laws passed. But for now, for the actual voting that's taking place, in-person voting, that's not a requirement.
That's correct. There are still court cases pending around voter ID. So where we are right now, the courts have said that we will not have voter ID. And so when you go to vote, when you present yourself for in-person voting, you will not be asked to present an ID. There are a few exceptions to that, similar to same-day registration, if we had any difficulties getting someone registered to vote. But all in all, voters in North Carolina at this point in time do not present an ID when they present themselves to vote.
And election day itself is November 8th?
November 8th.
Should have this committed to memory by now.
And every polling place in North Carolina will be open from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., ready to serve their voters. The key difference between early voting and election day, though, is that a voter must go to their precinct polling place on election day. And if you don't know where that is, just go to ncsbe.gov and use the voter search tool. And that's a great thing for any voter to do. But for someone who wishes to vote on election day, that does give you your precinct information. For any voter, it's the way that you get your sample ballot. And it's also a way that you can make sure that all of your residence information, your mailing address information is up to date, so that when you do present yourself to vote, that you're properly in our poll book.
That's one thing I know I have made it a point to do, is to check my sample ballot so that I know what the heck I'm doing on election day. We're expecting pretty good turnout, right? Normally midterm elections, you think lower turnout, but that trend seems to be changing in recent years, and maybe we're going to have another big turnout in this election.
That's what we're hearing. You know, we are ready to serve 100% of the voters. That's how we prepare in terms of ballot printing and polling place setup and everything that we do. But we are hearing that people are very interested in this election, varying reasons of why they are. But of course, we're in the spotlight because of our U.S. Senate contest. The fact that Senator Burr is not seeking reelection means we will have a new U.S. Senator from North Carolina. And of course, I'm sure everyone's very keenly aware that the dynamics and the makeup of our U.S. Senate could change because of not just North Carolina, but many contests around the country. But North Carolina is definitely one that's being watched.
Another group that's watching what's going on in our state. There's a lot of debate around our elections these days. I know you're acutely aware of this. The Brennan Center for Justice published a survey on the threats to local election officials earlier this year, and they found that as many as 1 in 6 election officials reported being threatened because of their job, and that 77% of respondents said they felt such threats had increased in recent years. I wonder if you think that's maybe happening in North Carolina, maybe not. And are there steps that the State Board of Elections can take to reassure election officials and make sure we got enough people to work the polls and things like that?
North Carolina has not been immune to this hostile environment. I think that's what I want to make sure that I point out, is that we recognize that there have been threats. Some of those threats have been directed towards me and the state board staff, including one individual saying that someone would be murdered. And I hope that that's not the environment that we're in, or the place that we have to get to find civility in our election processes again. But in the meantime, yes, we have faced certainly a very hostile work environment since the 2020 election. You know, we are passionate about the work that we do, and the people who serve as poll workers, just, you know, who come and just serve for election day or serve at the early voting sites, they do it because they're passionate as well. And in all these situations, you know, the makeup of our county board of election members, the state board, the poll workers, these are bipartisan officials. And these are people from the communities. They're the same folks who may have been a former school teacher or basketball coach, might sing in the church choir right now and go to the same grocery store as you. And yet they are willing to do their part in our democracy. And for that, we call them democracy heroes. And we were able to launch that recruitment program during the pandemic, when it was very difficult to get individuals to serve as poll workers. But we've seen some of those folks who were in that vulnerable population who could not serve then return. But we do find that people are apprehensive. And, you know, what we want to do is reassure the workers and the voters that they're going to have a safe environment when they come to our voting sites. And we've done that in many ways, but most recently we have released a numbered memo, which is guidance through me as executive director for the state board. But, you know, certainly it's a group effort in this one, because this particular memo is outlining how we're going to maintain order at the polling places. And included in that is a reference guide for law enforcement officials. And we worked on that with the North Carolina Sheriff's Association and the North Carolina Chiefs of Police Association. And what it really defines is that if we have good procedures in place in North Carolina, our law is very clear about who's allowed in a voting enclosure, you know, that space where you actually are conducting voting, who's allowed, or really no one outside of the voter and the election official is allowed in the buffer zone, and that electioneering takes place outside of the buffer zone. We really try to define who that barrier around curbside voting, and that for that particular voter who needs to vote from their car, that's their voting enclosure. And, you know, we also define or help to clarify that observers or poll watchers in North Carolina are defined by our laws, and it's very specific. An observer is there to observe, and they have to be appointed by the political parties, and those have to be noticed to the County Board of Elections in advance of election day or the early voting period. And that is because, you know, the precinct officials are going to need to know who those individuals are so that they can ensure that we are adhering to the law. And the bottom line is that we are going to ensure fair and safe and free and accurate and secure elections. And we're going to make certain that that voter is able to exercise their right to vote. And anyone who tries to disrupt that, we are going to intervene, and that person may be removed from the voting site if they try to interfere with a voter. We hope it doesn't come to that. We hope we can de-escalate the situation. But our utmost priority is to ensure that every eligible voter in North Carolina, no matter their ideology or their party affiliation or anything, is going to be able to cast that ballot in the method that they choose to do so.
We're talking with Karen Brinson Bell, who's the executive director of the State Board of Elections, about this upcoming election that we're having. So I take it through all these tactics, you think you've got enough workers to staff the various polling sites and precincts throughout the state?
Knock on wood, I'm hearing good things from the counties that we do have adequate workforce for this election.
And the bottom line on the de-escalation and the possibility that we might have people sort of trying to insert themselves into elections is we have observers, but you don't just get to self-appoint yourself as an observer to go in and watch what's going on, right?
That's exactly right. Our law is very clear. Observers are appointed by the political parties, and the notice of those observers is given in advance to the County Board of Elections prior to their service at an early voting site or an election day site. And so, you know, our processes are in place as to how we will carry out observers. You know, it's very clear who is allowed in a voting enclosure. First and foremost, it's the voter who's there for the purpose of voting. Our election officials are allowed into the voting enclosure, of course, and the observers that have been properly appointed will be welcomed in. There are circumstances where we would bring in the press, or others might be called in by those precinct officials who are working there. Otherwise, the law is very specific that others are not allowed into the voting enclosure unless pretty much there for the purpose of conducting the election or for the purpose of voting.
Now, I know the state board actually sought to implement even somewhat tougher restrictions on observers, but the state's Rules Review Commission rejected those rules. I take it you're still comfortable with what you'll be able to provide to voters in terms of security and a safe and stable process.
The State Board of Elections adopted temporary rules that gave more clarity to the existing permanent rules and statute regarding observers. Those were passed, as I said, unanimously by the State Board. The Rules Review Commission chose not to accept them. But the thing I want everybody to be very aware of is that we did already have permanent rules in place and a very clear statute about what's allowed by observers. We sought to give clarity because of some very specific situations that had happened during the primary in May, but even without the adoption of those temporary rules, we feel very certain we can proceed forward and we have the clarity that we need. Again, if someone's not properly appointed as an observer, they will not be allowed to come into the polling place to serve in that role. And the other key thing is that whether they're an observer or anyone else, if they try to interfere with a voter being able to cast their ballot, we will intervene and try to de-escalate that situation or remove that person.
Coming up next, part two of my special extended conversation with Karen Brinson Bell. Stay with us.
Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. In part one of my special extended conversation with State Board of Elections Executive Director Karen Brinson Bell, we discuss some of the dates and deadlines for the upcoming midterm election and how officials are working to de-escalate tensions surrounding the election that have arisen in response to Donald Trump's lies about 2020 and the conspiracy theories to which they've given rise. In part two of our conversation, we dove into more of the details of how this fall's election will be conducted, including, among other things, the rules governing poll observers, the ongoing impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, how state law makes tampering with ballots and vote counting all but impossible, and how thousands of people who were formerly disenfranchised because of old criminal convictions are now eligible to vote. One concern I know that gets expressed by some people these days is the sanctity of the ballots that are cast and how they'll be counted and the assurance that it will be done in an accurate way. Maybe you could reassure our listeners here in North Carolina about how that's done in our state and why you're so confident that there's no reason to be concerned about how that'll work.
You know, I have been in elections since 2006, and so many of our officials have been as well, and my colleagues around the state, and we have worked tirelessly over the years, to build a strong foundation in how we conduct elections in North Carolina. And many of these practices have been in place and will remain in place. I think what's overlooked is how much goes into securing our elections. Before each and every election, we proof every single ballot style. Every single one of those ballots is tested through a mock election and in our logic and accuracy process that happens before every single election. And that's every single machine that's going to be deployed. We make sure it's functioning properly. We do an aggregation of that mock election to make sure that even our election night reporting system is working properly. All of those test votes are cleared out and the machines are prepped and sealed to be sent out to our polling place. We follow a chain of custody with the equipment, with the ballot, with all the materials. And then at the voting sites, it's overseen by bipartisan individuals who are there having taken an oath in what they're doing. And they follow procedures that we try to make as uniform as possible across the state. And everyone who's voting at our polling places are doing so with certified voting equipment, not just properly tested, but certified to meet federal and state standards. As the day goes on, those procedures are being followed by those bipartisan officials. They continue to follow the chain of custody as they return the materials on election night. And then we begin our reconciliation and auditing processes that happen over a 10-day canvas period by the county boards of elections. And so they're making sure that all the ballots were returned properly, that the ballots cast match the poll book count, various things like that. We also do a sample hand-to-eye audit that's required by law and has been since 2006. We do that with every single election. It's a random draw of at least two voting sites that the counties must count by hand to ensure that the tabulator did perform properly. And then all of that is provided to the county board members to get their certification of the election. And then we go through a very similar process to prepare the state board for their canvas and certification.
It's a massive job. I wonder sometimes whether you're adequately funded to do this job or whether you could use more resources. It's a remarkably involved process that you go through that obviously takes a lot of staff to pull it off. How's the funding doing these days for the State Board of Elections?
Funding is a challenge. You know, having been a county elections director and working with all 100 counties in this role, a state director, I know that they are underpaid. Many of these positions were classified as administrative positions, and they have become very much more technical, logistical. It's amazing the number of hats that county election directors wear, and they are not paid adequately. And I would highly encourage county commissioners to understand better what happens in the county elections office and the demands and so forth that they have on them. The same is true for the State Board of Elections. All of us have had to really rely on federal funding through what we call Help America Vote Act funds. And that has helped us along the way, particularly after we were designated as critical infrastructure back in 2017. And at this point, you know, we have considerable risks of physical and cybersecurity. We are able to mitigate those. We've been able to prevent the attacks, but that requires personnel, that requires monitors and sensors and things that you don't just buy them once and they work. You have to have people who actually are knowledgeable in all of that. And what we've not seen is an increase in appropriation from the legislature to help fund our agency for that purpose. There has really been no state funding put towards cyber or physical security for the State Board of Elections, only the small match that the state must do to the Help America Vote Act funds. So it's definitely been challenging. We don't have additional personnel that's been designated or appropriated to our agency for any of those purposes. And the other thing that we're really struggling with is that we have a statewide voter registration system and election management system for, you know, creating those ballots and things like that. And that platform was built in 1998, and we have continued to modify and build that out, but we are at a point where we need to modernize that system and our campaign finance reporting system. And we just have yet to be funded to do that. And so that will be a big ask that we're going to continue to make with the state legislature, and also to try to help put into perspective that we are pretty much appropriated for the same number of people at the State Board of Elections for the past, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 years or so. And yet the population of North Carolina has grown tremendously. And when the population grows, so do the voter registration rolls and the complexity of what we have to do when we are critical infrastructure now.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine a more important investment than investing in the details of our democracy at this time, especially when the state has so much money in the reserves. We hope very much the legislature starts paying attention to that. One other issue we should mention is that thanks to a new court ruling, more than 50,000 North Carolinians who are on parole, probation, or post-supervision release for a felony conviction can now legally register to vote this cycle. So that's something I presume will be happening a lot, perhaps at some of these early voting sites, and maybe on same-day registration anyway, as a possibility.
That's correct. And even since that court decision, we've seen numerous groups work to identify these individuals within our community and make sure that they do get registered to vote. There's been several changes in how we carry that out. There was a different court ruling that was a little more complex in who could register to vote if they had had a felony sentence and had completed that sentence. And so, you know, we really worked hard with our Department of Public Safety and the prison system and so forth to make sure that we are getting that information out and making sure that, you know, we do not want to disenfranchise any voter. And yet they know that if you are still serving a felony sentence, they don't want to risk registering and that be another felony. We're trying to make sure that it's very clear. So I appreciate you bringing that up and distinguishing where we are in that voter registration process right now and what the court decision is.
So presumably, if someone finds themselves in that situation, they could get good information when they go to register or where they go to a same day registration situation during early voting. There'll be people there who will be able to help them figure out if they are entitled to vote.
Absolutely. And we have tried to give good guidance on our state board website. The voter registration form there is properly updated. We have had an issue with paper supply, like much of the country. And so some of our voter registration forms, we're having to rely on old forms to, you know, to have an adequate supply. And so that's another thing, is we're trying to make sure that if that language about felony sentences being completed, if that hasn't gotten updated properly on a voter registration form, that we're clear what the status is.
We're coming to the end of our time with Karen Brinson-Bell, who's the executive director of the State Board of Elections, as we head into election season. Last time we had you on the show, you were dealing with the pandemic protocols. I take it maybe that's not quite so urgent this time. Maybe we're a little past some of the worst of that.
The pandemic actually taught us some really good lessons on how to have better voting sites that can create distancing and how to just, you know, create a healthier voting environment as well, so that we're cleaning our voting booths and so forth. Yeah, the reality is as we approach the pandemic, it certainly did not compare to flu season, but we always have voting in flu season. And so we're just trying to be mindful and be respectful. If voters still want to wear their masks, that's of their choosing. And we will certainly have them do that. We're doing the same for poll workers if they still want to continue to do that. I think some of the counties, you'll still see the plexiglass barriers because we are in an environment where, be it coronavirus or flu, you know, we've got communicable disease, and we want to keep everyone well, keep our workers able to work and our voters able to vote.
Might want to remind our listeners one more time of the State Board of Elections website, where they can check things out, get their sample ballots. You can tell us that one more time.
The State Board website is ncsbe.gov.
And if folks have problems on the day they vote, do you have any advice where they might call, or if they have a question, is there a hotline? Someone's having trouble, they feel like they're not getting good information. What would be your recommendation to them?
The best place for a voter to call if they're having issues on election day or during the early voting period is to the County Board of Elections, because they can direct them most directly there within the county. But if they continue to have issues, or if they're not certain of their County Board of Elections, they can reach out to the State Board of Elections, and we will either be able to help you or connect you with your County Board of Elections. The main line for the State Board is 919-914-0700.
Karen Brinson Bell is one of the most important public officials in the state of North Carolina. She's the executive director of the State Board of Elections. We thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. We wish you all the best over the coming hectic month of your life and maybe a little rest when this is all over.
Thank you. And thanks for that compliment. I don't consider myself one of the most important officials, but I do think I have some of the most important work to do.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. You can also listen to all of our interviews and commentaries on Apple Podcasts. Producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.